dit lijkt me weer voldoende van Supertramp. Let's start anew. Nee, niet meer overnieuw beginnen nu. Ja. Want ik sta te popelen om aan de achterstallige post te beginnen. Het is een beetje Sweet 16 zondag, een beetje bij
me. Luisteraars,
achterstallige post.
De post, wat brengt vandaag de post?
Wat zit er in Jacques Plafond's brievenbusje?
Nou, Annek, ik wou graag eigenlijk even eerst behandelen wat er al uitgehaald is, namelijk de achterstallige post.
Achterstallige post.
Achterstallige post.
Ik worstel mij heen door achterstallige post. Er heeft zich weer een en ander opgestapeld. Er moet nodig. Op de
achterstallige,
ik start mee op de achterstallige post.
Nou, eigenlijk eerst maar even wat meer recentere post. Ik heb hier namelijk een min of meer een klachtachtige brief. Ik hoop dat ik me nu zorgvuldig uitdruk. En het is van een Australische jongeman, genaamd A.M. Kabel, die in Doetinchem woonachtig is. In de Sint Maartenstraat, wel te verstaan. En die heeft zich geërgerd, meen ik toch uit die brief te moeten opmaken, aan het de draaksteken wat ik vorige week gedaan zou hebben. Of de week daarvoor, wanneer was dat dan? Want er staat, ik heb met Mathilde Santing gepraat. En daarbij begon ik ineens te zingen van Woltzing Mathilda en schijnen nogal vermaakt hebben met de uitdrukking billabong die daarin voorkwam. Ik heb ook proberen uit te leggen wat dat was. Dat schijnt allemaal niet goed te zijn. En vandaar deze uitgebreide brief met een uitleg betreffende het liedje Woltzing Mathilda. Ach, Broekema, ik wil meneer Kabel eigenlijk wel even opbellen straks. Maar zullen we dan eerst even ik wil graag de uitvoering van Jimmy Rogers horen. Maar als ik eerst nog even mag zeggen, dit liedje legt Kabel uit. Niemand weet eigenlijk waar dat precies op slaat. Wat er nou lollig of interessant aan is aan een zwerver, want daar gaat het over, die klaarblijkelijk geestelijk gestoord was, maar toch wordt het liedje door de Australiërs erg sentimenteel benaderd. Het is tenslotte bijna ons volkslied geworden. Wilt u dan ook niet de draak meesteken? Ik verkracht toch ook Joe Wilhelmus. Niet al dus Kabel. En hij legt even uit wat het liedje over gaat. Moet ik dat dan ook weer doen allemaal? Wat is dit toch een radioprogramma? Even Jimmy Rogers maken. Weet u waar we het over hebben?
Under the shade of a coolibuck tree. And he laughed and he sang as he sat down by the billy bog. You come a waltzing Matilda with me.
waltzing, Matilda, waltzing, Matilda. You come a waltzing, Matilda, with me. He laughed and he sang as he sat down by the billy bug. You come a waltzing, Matilda, with me. Down came a jump up to drink from the billy bug. Up jumped the swag man and gobbled him with glee. And he laughed and he sang as he tucked him in his tucker bag. You come a waltzing, Matilda, with me. Waltzing, Matilda, waltzing, Matilda. You come a waltzing, Matilda, with me. He laughed and he sang as he tucked him in his tucker bag. You come a waltzing, Matilda, with me.
Tot zover dan? Ja, nee, ik kijk, die meneer Kabel, die zich toch een beetje daar vervelend vond dat ik de draak mee gestoken. Als ik dat gedaan zou hebben, meneer Kabel, mijn excuus daarvoor. Ik wist niet dat het het Australische volkslied betrof. En aan de andere kant vind ik het prima als you op you beurt dan het volkslied een keer verkracht. Dan staan we misschien weer kiet. En ik kijk daar rijkhalsen naar uit en ben ook benieuwd de manier waarop you dat meent te moeten zullen kunnen doen. Want het gaat door met Up Came the Squatter. Mounted. Nee, dat, weet je, dat staat hier. Ik heb de tekst namelijk gekregen van meneer Kabel. En die, daar staat het heel anders in. And he sang and he watched and he waited till his billy boiled. En maar Jimmy Rogers zingt hier. He laughed and he sang and waited till his billy boiled. Er was een thee aan het koken, water, een beetje water aan het koken. En toen kwam er een schaap langs. En dat. Ja. Hoe moet ik daar nou mee
aan? Ja. Met op en
oh ja. En Billy Bong, luisteraars. Billa Bong, wat hier voorkomt, is een woord uit de taal van de zwarte Australiërs, de zogenaamde Aboriginals. En het betekent een tak van een rivier dat wegstroomt van de hoofdstroom. Schrijft
dus
Kabel,
even voor de duidelijkheid,
ja,
uw briefkaart met op- en ja. Of aanmerkingen naar Ronflonflon, postbus 6, 1200 AA, Hilversum.
Bij Bussum. En, los daarvan loopt vaak dat kleine riviertje, die tak van een rivier, weer dood en vormt een poel. In de zomer ligt de zijtak vaak droog. En het meertje dat dan overblijft is dus de eigenlijke billabong. Een dode, droge tak van een rivier. Dus. En de zwerver is verdronken. Prince, I could never take the place of your man. En dat is in het kader van de klotenplaat van Emiel. Want Emiel die ziet daar wel wat in die prins. Volgens hem gaat die prins het helemaal maken. Van Waltzing Matilda, dat is dus nou niet uit de verf gekomen. En daar ging die brief juist over, als ik nog even mag interrumperen, broer maar. Ik zal proberen dat te zingen, het couplet over, maar als begeleiding deze muziek van Prins, die toch wel alweer in de hitparade zal geplet worden. Up came the squatter, mounted on his thoroughbred. Up came the troopers, 1, 2, 3. Wear that jolly jumpback you've got in your tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. And then up jump the swag man.
Thank you. It is so cool.
Shall I say the name? Michael Viscarell. Viscarell. Michael Viscarell gave me his CD. Woo! Cool, on Radio Heracon, we have our special top 10 list, of course, a wonderful playlist, and one of our favorite songs we do is this one. It is to remind us all that we're all part of that divine everlasting fire. And it is like the fire inside of each and every one of us, inside of the sun. And when we meditate and think about, philosophize about the enormously amazingly beautiful energy which comes from the sun in the sky, we will realize everything. Savitur varini ammargo de la sia di mai di una perciuraia. Savitur varini ammargo de la sia di mai di una. Victory to the sun! Thank you. That was our number one hit. Always will be.
Welcome to an area that used to be the National Theatre, but it's now just a vast collection of tents and rubble. This, I'm told, is a very unsafe place for young women. In fact, not just young women, but girls. Rape here is very common.
C'était à 11 du soir. Nous avons accouché en février. Et puis, pendant que je suis venu sortir,
I gave birth in February and my baby and my sister were with me at the time. The baby's father had moved to a place called Akai for treatment because he had been injured in the earthquake. So it was maybe 11 o'clock at night and I was lying under a plastic sheet because there were no tents. They had not started giving out tents at that time. Everybody was asleep apart from me. The plastic sheeting started to shake. It felt like someone was trying to get in. And suddenly, I saw three men coming at me, and they asked me, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Why? Why are they asking me this?" I told them, "I'm like everybody. I'm here for the same reason everyone else is." And then they said, "Where's your husband?" I said, "He's not here at the moment because he had to go somewhere for treatment." And then one of them asked me to lie down. I asked, "What for?" He shouted, "Lie down now." And I was trying to resist. One of them pushed me and they started tearing my clothes. They tore my dress and my skirt. And one of them pulled down my pants. He had sex with me. He raped me. And then the other two came and did the same thing.
Did you scream for help? Was there anyone that could help you?
No, my mom didn't help.
I cried, I yelled, but nobody came. There was nobody.
What did you do after that happened?
Bon, après le fin violent,
After they finished, they beat me. They tore down the plastic sheet covering me. They had beaten me before they raped me, and then they beat me afterwards. They beat me so much that you can still see the scars on my skin and my knee. And afterwards, they destroy everything that was inside the plastic sheet, and then they left.
Do you have any idea why they not only raped you, but beat you? Why do you think they did that?
You know, I hadn't long given birth to my baby when it happened, and I was so worried about what they were going to do to me, so I was resisting. And because of that, they beat me even more. They thought that the noise I was making would draw attention. So I imagine that is why they beat me so much.
Was your baby all right? Did your baby escape without any harm?
No.
I don't know if they had planned to hurt my baby, but I was making so much noise and even more noise when they started looking for my little girl. So maybe it's because of that they didn't touch my baby.
Did you move away from that area after this happened? Did you manage to find somewhere else to go?
No,
I didn't move because I didn't have anywhere else to go. So I had to stay there.
It must have been so frightening for you, having had that happen and not being able to move anywhere else, having to each night worry about that.
Yes, it was tough. I remember I couldn't even breastfeed my baby because it felt like the milk inside had been poisoned. So I stopped breastfeeding, and each night was torture for me.
How much longer did you have to spend in that place?
Now we are in December. I left in October when a friend of mine gave me a place to stay.
Did what happened to you, did this happen to many other women where you were staying?
Actually, because I was so ashamed of what had happened to me, I didn't ask anyone else if they had been raped.
Okay, non pas monsieur Delva Marie Iramit.
My name is Marie Eramit Delva. I'm the executive secretary of COFAVIV. COFAVIV is an organization that protects women.
How much of a problem is rape, the rape of women and girls in camps in this area?
Firstly, I would like to tell you that I've seen this firsthand, because I used to live in a camp on Chalmas. I remember that I couldn't sleep at night. I have young daughters, and once somebody tried to rape one of them. We would always be watching out to see if someone was coming. In the morning, it used to be so hot in the tent sometimes. You know, it was a plastic sheet. And at about 10 or 11 o'clock, it would be boiling in there. You just couldn't stay inside. And whenever it rained, you felt like you were living like a pig in mud. Sometimes you had to put plastic on your feet so you could walk. It was extremely difficult for everyone living there. There isn't any privacy. Sometimes a woman wants to take a shower. And in the early days, there weren't any shower stalls, so men would be watching you and make comments about your body. It was tough. And imagine that at one point there weren't any toilets. And even when the toilets had been installed, they would clean them at lunchtime when you were eating. And imagine you get all the smell. So it was very tough for people to live like this. The big problem we have in the camps now is that they're really not very well lit at night when a lot of the rapes are happening. After dark, gangsters come from other areas. They break into people's tents, steal their things, rape women, and then destroy the tent. This happens a lot. And sometimes we have cases where girls as young as 4 or 5 years old are being raped in the camps as well. There was a case recently of a man who raped a little girl at a camp called Sainte-Anne. He's been arrested for what he did and will go to court.
How widespread is all this? How common is it that women are getting raped in camps and even children as young as 4 or 5 getting raped?
You know, rape is really common in Haiti. And to be honest, violence existed before the earthquake. We have a long history of it in this country. And do you know that after the earthquake, most of the prisoners escaped from the main prison? They are free now, committing all kinds of crimes. They're raping, they're killing, they're stealing from people. And it's a difficult thing for us to deal with. And right now, as we're talking, women are being raped. It's something that happens every day, doesn't stop. And now we've also got other problems, kidnapping, which stopped for a while and is on the rise again.
Marie Delva knows only too well what the women she's trying to help are going through. She started to work in this field after she herself was brutally raped.
5 people came to my house that night. They tied me to a bed and they kidnapped my husband. He was found 3 days later in a very bad way and taken to hospital. But he died a few days later. Being raped is extremely traumatic and it's very difficult to get back to normal life afterwards. I had some very difficult days after my husband was killed and I was raped. I found it difficult to carry on. I felt guilty about what had happened and blamed myself. And on top of that, my husband had been the breadwinner. And now that he'd gone, I had to think about my children. I didn't know what to do to help them. I felt so alone. But then I got back on my feet and started to live again because I had to provide for my children. But now I'm working with other women who are victims of rape, and I can't keep thinking of myself as a victim. I have to show them that I am a strong person and that I'm in control of my life. But even though I try not to see myself as a victim, it is something I think about.
If I could erase what happened from my memory, I would be very happy, but I can't, and I have to live with it.
Do you have any advice for other women, other young women who are still living in these camps? Anything that you would like to say to them?
I don't see what advice I can give, really, because there's no security in those tents. There are no doors to stop people coming in. So what I would tell them is to try and be safe in the camps. Be careful about the clothes you wear and where you sleep. And to always be on the lookout for somebody coming, so if it happens, you can run away.
How optimistic are you that your baby will be able to grow up in a different Haiti, a Haiti where this sort of thing doesn't happen?
Really, I don't see what future my baby has. I don't have a job, so I can't really provide for her. And maybe the best thing would be if she went with someone else to another country, so she could have a better life. But if she's left with me, there's not that much I can do for my baby when she grows up.
What were you?
werden Sie sich alles beweisen.
Aber Frau Tabenstein sitzt in unserem Büro und will eine Aussage machen.
Was für eine Aussage?
Well, you covered your tracks and now I can't see you. You had your ashes scattered at sea. There's no grave to visit, no tombstone to look at. You're in the New York Times obituary. There's no record, no tape, no book, no movie. Some photographs and memories. Sometimes I dial your phone number by mistake, and this is what I hear. This is no longer a working number, baby. Please redial your call. This is no longer a working number. Your party doesn't live here anymore. This is no longer a working number. If you still require help, stay on the line and an operator will try to bail you out. I knew I should have seen you that Thursday. I knew I shouldn't have left. But you sounded so good, your spirit so up, I thought I'd see you next week. I say over and over, if I had half a brain, if I had a half a brain in my head, I wouldn't sit here dialing a wrong number and listening to what some recording said. This is no longer a working number. Please redial your call. This is no longer a working number. Your party doesn't live here anymore. This is no longer a working number. But if you still require help, stay on the line and an operator will try to bail you out. I knew I should have written things down. I always say I'll never forget. Who can forget a one-eyed pilot who's a concert pianist, huh? A painter, a poet, songwriter supreme. My friends are blending in my head. They're melding into one great spirit, and that spirit isn't dead. Now I may not remember everything that you said, but I remember all the things you've done. And not a day goes by, not an hour, when I don't try to be like you. You were gas-stoked and raring to go, and you were that way all the time. So I guess you know I'm laughing at myself every time I dial the wrong line. This is no longer a working number, babe. This is no longer a working number. Gas stoked and ready to go. 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 Gas stoked.
went with it. Sitting watching the planes burn up through the night like meteorites. We're just poor teenagers. Look what all she say, emotional rages. Poor teenagers, seeing ourselves as strangers. Poor teenagers. Poor teenagers.
Donderdag. Het is weer 1 uur. En dat betekent dat u luistert naar Transit op Radio Patapoe. Vandaag reist Transit met u naar Italië. Naar Italië. En wij gaan daar luisteren naar Ruggero Leoncavallo's Der Baiazzo e Pagliacci. Dat is een opera doorsnede in het Italiaans. De uitvoerende zijn Joan Carlyle, Carlo Bergonzi als Baiazzo, Giuseppe Taddei als Taddeo, Ugo Benelli als Harlequin, Rolando Panierai als Silvio, Giuseppe Moresi als een boer en Franco Ricciardi als een andere boer. De dirigent is Herbert van Karajan, die kent u natuurlijk als Beethoven-specialist. Maar nu waagt hij zich aan een Italiaanse opera, jawel, Der Baiazzo. Is ook een zonder aflaken, zoals dat in het Duits heet, is een DGG Club. 79425 is het nummer. We gaan eerst uiteraard beginnen met de eerste zijde. maar op wij vinden een proloog. Kijk, hier ben ik, dat doet Tonio. Dan krijgen wij, hey, dat zijn ze, maak plaats. Dat doen Canio, Beppo en het koor. Daarna, fantastisch schouwspel. Dat bieden wij u vandaag. Haha, altijd lol. Dat doen Canio, Tonio, Beppo, twee boeren. twee boeren en het koor. Daarna, een klokkenkoor, bim bam bim bam. Daarna hebben wij een zenden plus vogellied. Hé, hey, wat vlamt, wat schittert daar op mijn oog, in mijn oog. Zoals die vogels vliegen, dat doet Nedda. Dan besluit kant 1 met een duet, wat geeft het. Ik weet het, in principe vind je mij verachtelijk, dat doen Nedda en Tonio. Laten we luisteren naar kant 1 van Der Bajazzo. Here we go.
Yeah. concetto vi dissi. Ora ascoltate come li ascolto. Andiamo, incominciate!
Tu stracci qua il cognetto.